Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Oh man, I'm already crying. It's going to be a good morning. You guys doing okay? I don't know most of you. My name's Ben, and I sat in those seats from 2002 to 2005 when I graduated with my bachelor's, took a couple years off, came back, and started the 10-year track towards an MDiv. So I'm one of those, and we're glad that you're here too. Like Rick said earlier, I had quite the evening. I think I got about 4 hours of sleep, because my five-year-old walked into my room and said, "Dad," I was like, "What is it?" I looked at the clock, it's 12:30. Some of you are still awake, hadn't gone down yet. I get that. I did college ministry for like 20 years, so I got it. I'm like, "What is it, buddy?" He said, "Can I sleep with you?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I threw up in my bed." I said, "No, but I got to do something about this." So as I'm getting up, like this is a true story this morning, as I'm getting up, my three-year-old daughter walks in right behind her brother. "Dad, can I sleep with you?" "No, why?" "I'm wet." "Awesome." "Why are you wet?" "I think I peed in my bed." "You definitely can't sleep in mine, but we gotta work on this." You know, about 30 minutes later, I went and I begged my wife for help. She said, "Okay." That's how my day started. How's yours? Yeah, hopefully better. So we've been talking about being one in Christ. One in Christ. And I have some really bad news for you this morning. You probably already know it. But one in Christ is really hard. One in Christ is hard. You know why it's hard? I wrote a couple of things down because I was afraid I'd forget a few. One in Christ is hard, and here's why. One in Christ is hard because it means I have to validate you and all of your mess and crazy that you bring to this team. It's hard. I have to validate you. I don't want to validate you. I want to validate me. One in Christ is hard because I have to lift you up. Like you actually dragged me down because of one in Christ. I have to come alongside and lift you up. One in Christ is hard. One in Christ is hard because I have to honor you publicly. And everybody knows you're a moron too. But I have to stand up publicly and honor you publicly. That's ridiculous, right? One in Christ is hard. I don't want to honor you publicly. I want to tell everybody the mess you left in my room publicly. I want to remind them of how much of a slacker you are and have to pick up your mess. Like, that's what I want to do publicly. One in Christ won't let me do that. I have to honor you publicly. One in Christ is hard because I have to value you for who you are. And some days I got to be honest. It's really difficult for me to see value in anything but the mirror. One in Christ is hard. It's hard, get this. If we're going to do one in Christ, I actually have to talk to you. Any introverts in the room, you'd rather just do your whole life in your room? That's me. Until the five-year-old and three-year-old says, "Can I join you?" And I say, "You can have my bed. I'll go sleep on the couch," right? Like, I would much rather not have to talk to anybody in my day. That's me, the hard wiring of Ben. One in Christ is hard because I have to actually talk to you. I have to consider your preferences. I have to consider your opinions. I have to consider your feelings. I have to consider how my words make you feel. I have to consider your preferences. I have to consider you. One in Christ is hard because I have to be patient with you when you're slow. Any athletes in the room? And you're like, "That's my teammate. I had to run some extra laps last week because of him," right? Like, I have to be patient with you when you're slow. I have to take care of you when you're sick. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that one starts to ring pretty true. I didn't write this morning at 2 a.m. I wrote it yesterday, but, you know, 12:30 in the morning, my Heavenly Father thought it would be a good illustration for me. "Hey, Ben, here's what it looks like to care for other people when they're sick." Thank you so much, Dad. I appreciate that. Here's the hardest one for me. Being one in Christ means I have to celebrate you when you win against me. And I have to celebrate you when you fail with me. I have to celebrate you. One of my friends named Mark Canada We graduated. We actually walked across this stage the same day, 2005, together. Mark is, he's cuter than me, which isn't very hard to do. He's a better communicator than me. He's a better leader than me. He's a better father than I feel like I am most days. And the Lord taught me this celebrate one another lesson through Mark, because Mark was always one step ahead of me in the career path that we chose. Okay? And there came a day where I realized that the internal monologue in Ben was very negative towards Mark, because Mark's great, Mark's awesome, Mark's cute, Mark's fantastic, Mark's better, Mark, and Ben's lousy by comparison. If you want to know the truth, Ben's lame by comparison to Mark. And I found inside me this internal narrative in my heart that would constantly just kind of tear Mark down. And I remember this one day, my Heavenly Father, he said, "You know what you need to do about Mark? Kill him." That's what happened next in my head. That's not what God said to me. I was like, that's the wrong answer. What is it? He said, "You need to celebrate Mark publicly." It's like, I don't think that's going to go over very well in my heart. I mean, it probably would be fine for whoever I'm talking to. He's like, no, here's what's going to happen. When you stand up and you celebrate when Mark wins, eventually that little thing in you that wants to kill Mark is going to die. That's one in Christ. How you doing this morning? See, one in Christ is hard. I'm not going to lie to you. One in Christ is really hard. You know what's easy? One. I got one, man. I can rock one like nobody's business. I don't know about you and how you're doing, but I can handle it. I'm type A, high capacity. I can make it happen. If it's just me, I'm golden. Get out of my way, I'm going to run over you, right? One, that's easy. I got that. This one day I woke up and I was like, I think I'd like to make this one, two. Yeah, two sounds better than one, right? I could sing some songs for you. One is the loneliest number. I'm tired of being lonely. Let's make this a duo. Anybody had that thought recently? I just encourage you to go find a married friend and say, right, one is really hard right now. I want two. And they're like, mm-mm. Don't do it to yourself. It's awesome for about a week. And then she chooses her family over you. It's like, I want to go back to one because one was easier. And then this is your future, okay? So listen closely. Then she looks at you guys and she says, I think I want to add one to our two. I'm like, mm-mm. That's the worst idea you've ever had. And we added one, and it goes downhill from there to throw up and pee pee in the bed at 2 a.m., okay? Like, one is easy. One is easy. If you're here and you're like, man, I don't know what the problem with all these other morons is. Like, I got this. I'm dialed in. Like, if everybody else was just like me, we'd be able to do one in Christ easy. Have you ever thought that? Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Hopefully you brought a Bible with you, because I'm not going to put it on the screen for you. So Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's challenging this idea for the church at Ephesus. I want to show you two little words in this passage that just blew my mind. Blew my mind. You know, one's easy. I got one. I can do one all day long. One in Christ, I don't know that I'm up for that today. Like, give me my grace coffee and my solitude, and me and Jesus will be cool. And then Paul says, that's not the whole picture. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from the ESV. Here's what Paul says in the midst of several other things about what it looks like to follow leadership within the church and do relationship within the church. Verse 16, here's what he says. In Christ... So that's who we're growing up into. That's the end of verse 15. We're supposed to grow up into Christ. Verse 16, from whom half the body. Is that what yours says? From whom one of you in the body. Is that what it says? What's the word in the text? Anybody? The whole. The whole. There's something about the whole that God cares deeply about. You know, earlier in this chapter, he made another statement. He said, there is how many lords? You guys know this passage, right? There's one Lord, there's one baptism, there's one Spirit, one God, one Father of all. There's one. This is not profound. So my MDiv didn't really teach me this. Like, I just third grade learned how to read really well. You tracking with me? The verb there is not there will be one, or that there should be one, or that if you work really hard, there might possibly be one body. The word there is there is. You see, one in Christ is not a pipe dream. One in Christ is not the goal. You with me? Some of you have set unity as the goal, and you'll kill everyone in your way so that you reach your goal. You missed the point. There is one. It's not the goal. It's reality. If you are in Christ, you are a part of the one. It's who you are. It is who we are. There is one. So he says, verse 16, that one body, that whole body, watch this. This is incredible. Is joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped. I love this illustration because my oldest son has a genetic disorder. He'll deal with it his whole life. And I know in my household what it looks like for someone's body not to be whole. Every day of our lives, we're trying to adjust the context of his life so that viruses and bacteria and all kinds of other things don't enter his body, because his body is not whole. It's broken. At a DNA level, he is broken. He gets sick faster than you. He can't run as fast as you. He can't speak as well as you. He can't keep pace with his 3 years younger brother. Could you imagine growing up knowing your body, this shell, is not able to keep up with the world around you? I know firsthand what it looks like for a body not to function properly. He lives in my house and pees his bed once a month. Come over and help us change the sheets. It'll be awesome. You'll learn how to serve, right? The whole body is held together by what each ligament and tendon and joint is supposed to do. Watch this phrase. You underline this, highlight it, circle it, go meditate on it for a week or two or a month or the rest of the semester, because this will rock your world when you try to think about what one in Christ means. When is the body held together? When is the body whole? When is the body right? When each part, everybody say each. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow in love. See, the problem with one in Christ is that it fails at the level of one. The real problem is that most of us think too highly of ourselves. And I know I'm not talking about you. I'm probably talking about your roommate or your teammate or that person who lives down the dorm hall who doesn't ever clean up after themselves. Right? No, I'm talking about you. I want you to stop for just a minute and take a hard look in the mirror this morning. Most of us think way too highly of ourselves. You know how I see this on a weekly basis? This is going to be a little personal for some of you. I married an educator. She is awesome, and no offense to the language arts department, I think she's the best English teacher on the campus. That's just me. Some of you just left her class, right? So I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about previous years of students, okay? Like, it happens every semester. Faculty is nodding in this direction with me. We're at home. We're reading papers, and we're grading papers. She's grading papers. I don't ever read your papers, but she'll read me sections of papers. And it never fails. She ends up giving your papers back to you. One or two of you get really upset, and you come to her and you say something to the effect of, I'm an A student. And everything in me wants to say back to you, yeah, well, that's a C paper. But I'm an A student. Yeah, well, you did C work right here. I think you need to go spend some time in the mirror. right? You think too highly of yourself. You think you're a better student than you actually are. You think you're a better athlete than you actually are. You think you'll be a better business owner than your professors are. You think way too highly of yourself. You know where this smacked me? It's a little awkward because he's sitting in the room, but when I was an undergrad, I had an overinflated view of myself. I still do. I'm recovering, okay? We'll talk about that at lunch if you want to sit at my table and hang out. We'll talk about the recovery community that is alive and well with those who think too highly of ourselves. I was doing my internship in Kenya, and I came back, and I had pages worth of what went wrong because I wasn't the leader and I wasn't in charge. You ever had a moment like this? Maybe it's a part of a team project and you're pulling your weight, but all these other slackers in class, they're the reason you made the D, you know? And Dr. McWilliams sat across the table from me at Chili's on Two Notch Road, listening to my rambling and my complaining. And about an hour later, he looks at me and he says, God wants to do incredible things through you if you'll just get out of his way. How about you? In your little mind and in your reality, have you solved all the world's problems? And if everybody else would just buy in, then the world would be a better place? You have too high of a view of yourself. Paul says two things to you. If that's you, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, he might be onto something. Here's what Paul says. Watch this. This is incredible. Romans 12:3, Paul says, none of us should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's premise number one. In Philippians 2, that I think you heard about last week in chapel, Paul says that Jesus, by contrast, emptied himself and became a servant of all. This is an incredible contrast. None of us should think more highly than we ought to think. We should imitate Jesus, who emptied himself rather than retaining the fullness. Every time I think too highly of myself, I think too little of Jesus. Every time you think too highly of yourself, you think too little of Jesus. And if that's not a problem to you, you might not be in Christ. Maybe that's the first conversation you need to have. If that idea doesn't resonate in your heart and force you back to the mirror to ask, am I thinking too highly of myself? Then we got problems. No wonder we're biting and devouring each other. No wonder we're tearing each other down. No wonder we're dividing over silly cultural lines. If we're not looking in the mirror and saying, I am less than Jesus. Every time I think too highly of myself, I think less of Jesus. I think little of Jesus. I think Jesus is small and I can handle it better. I put him aside and I do it my way. Too highly of yourself. Too highly of yourself. The real question is, this is kind of fun. Don't you know who I am? Right? Don't you know who I am? That's not how it initially comes out. It initially comes out, who do you think you are? You ever had that moment? Happens to me every time I get behind the steering wheel. I need some of you to invent the teleportation machine. That would help me out greatly. Because I get behind the steering wheel and then you get on the road. And you mess up my plans. I'm driving down the road one day in Lancaster, PA, headed to work, and I get to this notorious intersection where people are just crazy. I don't know what happens. They get to that little quarter mile, and they just go nuts. They forget the rules of the road, seriously. And of course, I'm obeying all the rules. Yeah, I'm the good one, too highly of myself. I'm driving. I'm obeying all the rules. Seatbelts on, phenomenal. I'm going the speed limit, and here's an on-ramp. And sure enough, I could see it coming. I was like, you're going to cut me off. You are going to cut me off. And sure enough, you cut me off. And I'll spare you all the details of what happened in my car that day. I did go see my counselor about it later. I'm not joking. That's for real. If you're not in counseling, you should consider it. It's fantastic. I met with Larry yesterday. He straightens me out. Cut me off. First words out of my mouth. You know what they were? I actually literally talked to the cars in front of me. Look in your rearview mirror from time to time. It's kind of fun. I literally said, who do you think you are? You ever had a moment like that? Who do you think you are? You just cut me off, don't you know? That's, you're supposed to yield. There's a red triangle right there. It means stop and see if anybody else is coming. You're supposed to, who do you think you are? And the Holy Spirit, it's like he took a dagger and just stuck it into my heart. He said, you're asking the wrong question. You're thinking too highly of yourself. You know what you're really asking, Ben? Do you know what you're really asking of that person? You're really asking, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? Because if you knew who I was and you knew how awesome I was, you would never in a million years consider cutting me off. Don't you know who I am? How many of you are subtly asking that question in the avenues of your week? And you are destroying the people around you because you have an overinflated view of you and you are railing against everyone who gets in your way. You know, I've heard a couple of stories recently of our view of athletes, for example. Let me just, this is where it's going to get a little personal. It might hurt. I got to be honest with you, I don't have an athletic bone in my body. I played junior varsity basketball in the seventh grade. The one time coach put me in an active game, I rang the wrong goal. Nothing but net. It was awesome. Right? I get back over to the bench and coach goes, Bixby, that was a great shot. I said, thanks, coach. He said, our basket's down here. Have a seat. Yes, sir. Just being honest, I don't have an athletic bone in my body. But I've been on four continents on this globe. Other than coffee, do you know the one thing that people gather around to hear the gospel? Sports ball. That's what I call it. Sports ball. Every time my friends start talking about the game, I listen for about 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, you're talking about sports ball. Sweet. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll listen and nod along, pretend like I know. All I know is every piece of dirt I've stepped on in this world, they gather around sports balls of some shape, size, color, length, dimension. They love it. Those of you here who have a problem with athletes, you need to hear me say something clearly. Those men and women, when they leave this institution, they will have far more influence with the people you want to reach than you and I will ever have. Praise God, we're on the same team. We're one. Every time that soccer player goes to Columbia, where my friends Robbie and Lauren Becker are serving the church, they gather around a soccer ball and they can win people to Jesus that would look at me and say, go back home, gringo. Like, don't. If you think that you're better than them because you're studying biblical languages, I promise you, you have a highly inflated view of yourself. And you need to come to terms with it with your Heavenly Father. Can I pick another bone for a second? I'm a business owner. Struggling business owner at that. I should have come through CIU's program and studied business, so I actually knew what I was doing. Can I tell you, my LLC has opened more doors for the gospel for me than my MDiv has. True statement. I have team members who work for our organization in six countries, all of which are closed to the gospel. But an LLC will open the door. And I deliver the gospel through our team into those cultures over this phenomenal thing called the internet on a weekly basis. Gospel touching the ends of the earth where none of us could go with a Bible degree. If you have a bone to pick about business and IT, I need you to understand our brothers and sisters who are studying business for the sake of the end of the earth are just as necessary as those of us who've translated the Bible to reach the cultures where they're going. We are on the same team. We are one in Christ. But it's hard. It's hard work because it's so much easier just to be one and to do it my way. Do you have an overinflated view of yourself? Because if you do, it's going to be really hard for you to play ball, pun intended, on this team. Now, athletes and future business owners, I need you to hear me clearly too. You need us nerds. You really do. I'm just a lowly Bible translator who barely made it through Greek 5, okay? Like, I get it. There are better ones out there, and you're sitting in this room, and I need you to do what God's made you to do. Ephesians 4, because when how many? When each part is functioning properly, the whole body grows. Can you put aside your differences for crying out loud on this campus of all places? We ought to be able to love one another, but it requires you getting you out of the way so that we can be us and be one in Christ. You know, there's a motto on the walls behind me. I stared at it for the better part of 20 years. And I have a theory. That was funny for some of you. Will get that later. You know the easy part of that motto? I'm just going to be honest. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I am pastor. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum. The easiest part of that motto is that half. I can make him known in my sleep. I got that down. I was trained really well by some of the best sitting in this room. I can make him known like nobody's business. I can get on an airplane. I can go over to another place. I can love people there. I can show them Jesus. I can explain him to them. I can teach. I can lead. I got it. Make him known, easy. You got a sports ball, make him known. Man, go live life among a bunch of people who do sports ball, and you can make him known, no problem. They're going to gather to you because that's awesome, and you're going to be able to explain it. You run an LLC, fantastic. Love your employees, pay them well, for crying out loud, and just lead a good organization. You can make him known. That's not the hard part. You want to know the hard part? Knowing him. And my fear is we got a bunch of people in this room who came here because they want to make him known. And you're not getting to know him because you're not willing to put down your agenda and get to know the people around you. Because implicit in knowing him means knowing his body. If I really want to know Jesus, I got to get to know you. If I really want to be known by God and let him renovate my heart and show me where I'm deficient, I need your voice in my ears. I need you in my face. I need you to help me know him fully. And to the degree that you think too highly of yourself, you think too little of knowing him through anyone else's eyes but yours. When each part is working properly, the whole body grows. How about you this morning? Can I challenge you? One simple thing. You got a couple of weeks left on campus before we all go our separate ways. Can you invest in one person who's different than you while you're here? I know it's going to be hard. I know you don't want to. I know you don't have time for it, but I promise you, your heavenly Father will wreck your heart and make you more like his son if you'll do that. Sit with lunch today with somebody you've never met. Somebody you'd prefer not to sit with. Just call it out. Hey, I don't really want to sit with you, but Bixby told me I had to. So what are you studying, right? That's a softball. Let's pour into each other. We're one in Christ. It's reality. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray your grace over us as students, as faculty, as staff, wrestling with this, because it's so much easier to look in the mirror, like what I see, and go about my day. So much harder to live my life for someone else, to spend my time on someone else, to do anything outside of myself for someone else. Would you give us the courage to do that, so that your son might be lifted high and we might make much of him in this place. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Enjoy lunch.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.